Never can tell when you're live.
Blog Talk Radio.
Helps if you pull the volume down on the right soundboard part. Anyway, I can tell we're live now. So no more talk about weed. Good evening and welcome in Ohio. Good evening and welcome, which is now legal. Good evening. So they say, good evening and welcome to Erie House, oldie timey radio. I'm Dale K from Spook Show. I am accompanied by...
Dave Bingley from Wing This Really Bad Movie and Spaceship, and I have a brief announcement to make right after the introductions about this last election. And we're here accompanied by...
Hello, Brent West, it's me. Hello, it is I, Guy the Ghoul, lost in my own election.
And we have the brilliant and lovely... Yep. That's you.
Greetings and felicitations, all good cyber citizens and medicine neighbors. This is CW with the treasure map where X marks the spot.
That it does.
I do have this special announcement to make. Here on Erie Ass Radio, I have decided to make my confession speech. I found out after the election that actually I got one vote from Mayor of Akron. It was a guy our mayor ran unopposed, and a guy I know didn't like the guy who was our mayor. So he wrote me in the writing candidate for mayor of Akron. So this is my official, you know, I do advocate the selection to Shamus, and good luck to him. So there we go.
Or as our sales manager used to say when he...
All right.
Good luck in prison.
I could have done better if only I knew I was running.
Yes. Yeah, you might have got... You could have doubled your votes. Who knows?
No kidding.
Anyway.
Wow.
And that's why I always vote for myself.
Yo. So this is not a gag. Someone actually voted for you for mayor.
Yeah, someone actually wrote my name in as mayor of Akron. And
I think you'd be a fine mayor. There's one thing I know. If Dave became the mayor of Akron, Ohio, you know what there would be? A whole lot of radio.
Ice cream
and
for
ice
everyone.
Cream.
And a whole lot of radio.
And a whole lot of radio.
A whole lot of radio.
Oh, yeah.
It's the secret to world peace.
Did they actually announce the write-in that in one vote for... Did they actually announce you on the news, if I may ask?
They did not, but it is supposed to be... They're in the official records at the down at the election board in Akron. It's supposed to be there. So
history is made.
Wow! Thus ends your illustrious political career.
Maybe it could be just the beginning. Could be just the beginning.
The beginning.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'd vote for you, Dave. He got voted.
Yeah,
He got elected. Got a vote for mayor. I got drafted to be work in the sewage department.
I'll take the ticket. What time you be down there to rake leaves? Yes.
Vote for you right after I voted for myself.
It ain't leaves what we're raking down in our sewers. Let me tell you.
Oh my.
And if I lived any closer to Cleveland, it would be dead mobsters. But I digress. We've got three, count on three, wonderful tales about mining. Yep.
Oh.
Yep. We're digging for it tonight, man.
We're digging for it.
Unearthing. Yeah. Tales from Casey Crime Photographer, Inner Sanctum, und Suspense, ja?
Suspense.
Das gut.
Suspense. Good old Raymond Burr in Suspense tonight, yep. Which is odd, because I think this was the time that he was doing, he was doing Perry Mason at this time, too, I think.
That he did this time. Your mic is breaking up a little, Dave.
I'm sorry, maybe that is better? No?
Yeah,
no?
A little, yeah. It sounded like you had, like, a loose wire or something there. You're fine
now.
Oh,
okay.
You sound perfect, CW.
Transmission.
Yep.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Can you feel the love?
Hubba, hubba. Hubba, 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 hubba.
Yeah. I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
Right here! Good.
Easy there, Norma Desmond.
Right here!
Hey, you want to welcome back good old Bob to the chat. And Fogsbane here as usual. Glad you are well, good old Bob. We miss Chuck. And where shall we begin with our audio awesomeness?
How about the one that starts with an SH? Suspense.
Gar, put your choppers back in and say it again.
Oh, okay. Suspense. There you go.
There you go.
Choppers in, choppers out. Choppers in, choppers out. Okay, there we go.
And it's an intriguing title to this one from Suspense, The Peralta Map.
Woo-hoo.
Yep. Dave, any factoids about this episode?
Well, I don't want to give too much away, but no, we've got Raymond Burr in here, and he always plays a great heavy on radio. You can be the good guy on television, but got to play a heavy on radio.
Yeah.
And Dave, I have one point of interest about this particular adventure of Suspense starring Raymond Burr. It's the only radio program Raymond Burr ever performed on radio with a limp.
That's true.
Yeah, there you go.
You can hear it in the second act. You can hear it in the second act. Yeah.
You know who was a good heavy on radio? Sidney Greenstreet.
Sidney Greenstreet was a great heavy. Yes, he was.
Oh, yes.
Orson Welles.
Of course, he was heavy everywhere
Scott.
He went. Sidney Greenstreet was heavy everywhere.
Scott Smart, absolutely. Yep.
Orson Welles was later, but, you know, yeah.
Yeah, he became he became very heavy late in his career.
Well, let's not forget the character of Nero Wolfe. He was heavy.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Well, that's what Sidney Greenstreet played him, yes.
Orson Welles is the only person I know that was wider than he was tall.
Not to start with.
No.
Only then.
Well, there was Toadie Fields, but I digress. Let us begin.
Hello.
Our first radio program. Originally broadcast.
March 10th, 1959.
757.
We'll go
57. Episode number 689.
Suspense. And the producer of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, the master of mystery and adventure, William N. Robeson.
East of Phoenix, Arizona, off to the left of the old Spanish trail, squats Superstition Mountain, a glowing, forbidden mass of black granite whose canyons and buttes keep well the secret of the deaths of many men. 400 years ago, the conquistadores searched here for the legendary Seven Cities of Cibola, which were supposed to be built of pure gold. The search has never been totally abandoned, for modern legend tells us that Superstition Mountain guards the fabulous Lost Dutchman Mine. But no one can be sure, for no man who has gone searching for it has come out alive. The facts you are about to hear are true, the story imaginary, since none of the characters involved lived to tell it. Listen then as Raymond Burr stars in The Peralta Map, a tale well calculated to keep you in
much further. Willis?
What?
What do you keep looking back for? You afraid somebody's following us?
No. No, I'm just checking the trailer. Sun's getting mighty hot on the horses.
It's going to get hotter.
Think we ought to stop and water them?
Wait till we get to Lowney's.
Okay.
How far is it?
Hey, you see that big mountain sticking up over there on the left?
Yeah.
Well, that's Superstition Mountain. His place is on the road right opposite it. About, another 4 or 5 miles.
You sure he'll be alone?
Well, he lives alone. Anybody else is there, it'll just be somebody who's pulled in for gas. They won't stay long.
They'd have to be crazy to stay long out here.
Yeah. I wonder why he does.
Takes all kinds.
I guess. Bartender I talked to in Phoenix, fella that's done some prospecting himself, he said old Lonnie'd rather have coyotes for neighbors and people.
Looks that way.
Cracker, how much you planning on telling him?
Just enough to get him hooked.
Well, supposing he ain't interested.
Then we make him interested.
What do you mean, by showing him the map?
If that's the only way, yeah. We'll show him the map.
But I thought we said we wasn't going to show the map to nobody.
I'm not going to argue with you. I can turn around right here, take the horses and the trailer back to Phoenix. Forget the whole thing. You want me to?
Now, look, Cracker.
Then we do it my way. He wants to see the map before he makes up his mind, I'll show it to him.
Well, suppose he doesn't believe it's a real thing. Suppose he thinks it's a fake.
He won't. Not if he can read Mex and knows the country like you said he does.
Well, they ain't only me that said it. It was the people I talked to in Apache Junction. They told me nobody really knows Superstition Mountain, but old Lonnie knows it as good as the next guy.
Yeah, he'd better.
Cracker, suppose after he sees a map and he knows it's no fake, he still won't take us in.
We'll look for somebody who will.
What, and leave him knowing where the mine is? He might try to beat us to it.
Don't worry so much. He'll go in with us. I guarantee it. Morning.
Still around for you?
No, thanks.
The way you're headed, there ain't another station for 50 miles.
Yeah, that's what I heard. You alone here?
Yeah, alone everywhere since my wife died.
Morning, Mr. Lonnie.
Morning.
What's the matter? Don't you remember me? I stopped in here a few days ago. I asked you some questions about the mountain over there.
Oh, move around so the sun's not in my eyes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Mr. Lonnie, I'd like you to meet a friend of mine, Henry Cracker.
Howdy.
How are you?
Mr. Cracker's got a proposition that ought to interest you, Mr. Lonnie.
Oh, well, I ain't got no money to invest.
You don't need any money. We got everything we're going to need right in the trailer.
That's so?
You going to water the horses or not, Willis?
Sure. I'll do it right now.
Water trough's behind.
He'll find it. Can we get out of this sun to do some talking?
Sure. Come on inside. Don't get much company out here. Hardly ever get a chance to visit with folks, so my place ain't usually fixed up. Hope you ain't finicky.
No.
Got some beans and coffee on the stove. You hungry?
I could use a cup of coffee.
Fine. You sit down anywhere.
Thanks.
Yeah. Got canned cream if you'll take it.
I'll drink it black.
Me too. Now then.
Lonnie, how much do you know about the Lost Dutchman mine?
Well, like I told your young friend, as much as anybody else around these parts.
You really believe it's there?
In the mountains? Sure I do. Seen too much evidence not to believe it.
What kind of evidence?
Well, where the Mexicans had their ore chutes and where they had furnaces to melt the gold down into bars.
You ever look for the mine?
No, not exactly.
But you've been on the mountain?
Well, a long time ago, I used to go deer hunting up in some of the box canyons around Weaver's Needle, where it's supposed to be at.
What's the name Peralta mean to you?
Well, they're the ones that owned the mine years ago, long before the Dutchmen found it. Apaches killed most of them off when one of their mule drivers got mixed up with an Indian squaw. After that happened, the Apaches didn't want anybody coming in and working the mine again, so they hid it, covered it over with brush and dirt.
How'd the Dutchmen find it?
Well, one of the Peraltas who'd been away from the mine when his paw got killed, he got in a saloon fight one time. Dutchman hauled him out of it, and this Peralta gave him a map out of gratitude. Leastways, that's how the story goes.
Mm-hmm.
Dutchman, he was supposed to have murdered a couple of fellas, including his partner, back in the mountain. But he died before anybody ever found out for certain.
You know what happened to the mine after that?
No, nobody knows, except they know it's lost.
Not going to stay lost. What do you want to guide us back in there?
I figured you was getting to that.
Well, what's your price?
Ain't got none.
We'll give you $300.
Well, that's a good bit of money, all right, but I can't leave the station.
Oh, don't give me that, Lonnie. You don't do that much business in a month.
Why, sometime.
You got cobwebs in the gas pump, and look at you. When'd you get a new pair of overalls?
Well, that's not the point. I just don't want to go back up in there.
$500.
No, and it ain't the money, so you needn't offer me any more.
Lonnie, all you got to do is take us onto the mountain, help us find certain landmarks that are on a map we have.
Map? You know how many maps I've seen in the past 20 years? All of them guaranteed to show how to find the lost Dutchman. Man, if I had a silver dollar for every one, I wouldn't be able to lift them. A map.
It's the Peralta map, or a copy of it.
Oh, sure, sure. They're either the Dutchman's or the Peralta's. A map.
When you're through laughing, you can take a look at it.
Peralta map.
Here. Take a good look. I've been waiting all my life to come across something this good. Knows a desert rat's going to sit and laugh at me when I do. Now, you study this thing. Feel it. Run your hands over the ink. You can read Mex, can't you?
Yeah.
And you're supposed to know landmarks. Are they phony? Huh? All right, Lonnie. You still feel like laughing?
Can't laugh at somebody I feel sorry for.
What do you mean by that?
You see.
You going with us?
Nope, I ain't.
What's the matter with you? You like living this way? You like being a desert rat?
I may be a desert rat, but I'm a live one.
So?
You ever read how many men have been killed hunting for the lost Dutchman?
Who cares?
Me. I don't want to add to the total.
That for you?
Yeah.
Don't answer it.
What? Now, just wait a minute, mister.
Sit down.
Sure, you don't have to hold no gun on me.
Crack up.
Hey. Is he going with us?
He is, or he's not going anywhere. That right, Lonnie?
What'd you say you'd give me?
$500.
It ain't enough.
Why, you chiseling...
It ain't enough for risking my life.
Now, what do you want?
As long as I'm going to die, I might as well die rich. I want a third.
Third of the mine?
Okay, you got it.
Now, wait a minute.
Now, you shut up.
There's no...
You can stop worrying, Lonnie. Nothing's going to happen to you now that we're partners.
Being partners ain't got nothing to do with it.
Well, what has?
For a couple of fellas after the lost Dutchman, you sure don't know much about it, do you?
We know enough.
No, you don't. But you will. Yes, sir, you sure will. This canyon's a good place to bed down, Mr. Cracker.
Any water in it?
Supposed to be, right up ahead.
All right. Hold it up, Willis. Make our camp here.
Oh, yeah. All right.
How far away from where the mine's supposed to be at?
About a mile away, I figure it. That right, Lonnie?
If the map's right.
You know it is.
I've seen a lot of wrong ones before. Look just as good.
Well, this one ain't wrong.
Where'd you fellas get it?
I got it. I got it off an old Mexican, Sonora.
He give it to you?
Yeah. Yeah, you might say he did.
Willis, you take the horses down to that water.
And now, look, how come you haven't done nothing but give orders ever since we started? Ain't you ever going to do any work?
Make a fire, Lonnie. Give me those reins.
Well, I'll be jig-swiggered. Never thought I'd see you stand up to him.
Well, why not? He's my partner. He's not my boss.
I'm a partner, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you are.
Well, now let's see if we can find something to make fire. You know what they call this canyon?
How'd I know? I ain't seen my map since I gave it to him.
It's West Boulder, where old Adolph Ruth camped.
Yeah, who's that?
Ruth? Oh, he's a fella come out of Washington, D.C. back in 1931. Had a Peralta map, too.
Yeah, well, not a good one. He didn't find the mine.
Well, some say he did. Some say different.
No? Well, what did he say?
Nothing. Wasn't until 6 months later that they found his body, rifle bullet in his back. Well, there's a nice hunk of dried mesquite. It smells like hickory when it burns. Now, the way I figure it, Ruth must have found a mine.
What makes you so sure?
Well, when they found him, the map was gone, but inside his vest was a piece of paper with his writing on it. It said, Veni, Vidi, Vici. That's Latin, meaning I was successful.
Who killed him, do they know?
Well, sure they know. Same person or persons who killed just about everybody what's ever got close to the mine.
Mr. Lonnie, you trying to scare me?
Of course not, boy. Just trying to tell you what we might be up against.
Well, me and Cracker got rifles. We can take care of ourselves.
Oh, sure, sure. Same as that fellow last month. He come in looking for the mine. Sheriff's posse brought him out.
Dead?
Yep. Rifle bullet in him, too. Well, there's an old dried-up century plant. Might burn.
Could be some hunter thought he's a deer, you know.
Yeah, could be. But that ain't the way folks figure it.
No?
No. Let's look over there. They figure that he was shot by the same person what's been doing the other killings.
How many is he supposed to have killed?
Oh, 50, maybe a little over.
That's quite a story. Who made it up, newspapers?
Sheriff's office don't think it's a story. Bullet they took from him and Ruth and some of the others all come from an old-type army rifle.
Anybody ever see the, whoever it is that's supposed to be doing the garden?
Well, not so they could recognize him, but their sock, an old Indian fella named Fat Dog lives over in Mesa. He's supposed to have seen him one time.
Well, how'd he know it wasn't just a hunter?
Well, he couldn't be sure, but what got his eye in the first place was the thing this man was carrying.
What was that?
It looked like an old U.S. cavalry saber. Troops used to chase the Apaches back up in here.
Yeah?
Well, Fat Dog, he didn't stay around after that, and he ain't been back since.
Well, how close a look did he get?
It wasn't too close, not too far neither. He could hear the spurs this fellow was wearing.
Well, I can understand a guy wearing spurs in this country, but why to carry a big old cavalry saber around? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, lots of things on this mountain don't make sense.
Lonnie, you're going to start the fire so we can eat, or you're going to talk all night?
Fixing to start it now.
Hey, Cracker, you ever hear about a fellow named Ruth got killed up in here?
When was that?
31.
Over 20 years ago.
Yep. But another fellow named Cravey, he had a helicopter fly him in just a couple years back. They found him 9 months later. Same type gun, did it?
Well, I don't mean the same person did it. There must be a lot of old army rifles around in this country.
Suppose so, but both Ruth and Cravey had maps. Good ones, I reckon. And both of them were killed the same way.
You mean both of them were shot?
Well, a little more than that. They were shot through the back. Then their heads were chopped off.
Yeah, that outro music was almost cartoonish.
Well, it chopped his head off. That's pretty funny.
Ooh.
The previous music was almost jazz-like.
Yep.
What?
Yeah, just a bit.
What?
That was just a identification from Blonde Talk Radio. Yes.
Yes. Once again, infiltrating our brains.
What? I'm lost. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That means that little music that came on was not appreciated by Dale or myself. That's what that means.
Oh,
that's what
that means. We got creepers going on. Okay. That
yes,
was
we
weird.
Do.
What?
We were invaded. I feel...
Heck?
Oh, what is the word? Yeah, it's a Me Too moment, sort of, I guess. Anyway.
Espionage? What? They did the Me Too on us?
Yes, they Me Too'd us.
I haven't been Me Too'd ever.
Mm.
There you go. Congratulations.
I've been Me Too'd.
Yep.
CW, you understand now that, you know, by association, you've been Me Too'd as well.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Oh,
dear.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear, dear, dear.
I plead the fifth. 23rd, 4th, and 5th.
I'm meeting the 23rd. I don't know what it means, but it sounds good on paper.
Yes. I'll take a 5th. Oh, wait.
Wait a minute. It sounds good on paper. I'm trying to digest that a minute. It sounds good on paper.
Good on paper.
Sounds good on paper.
That's like me. I look good on radio. All right. Let's roll.
What?
Hey.
Am I? Yeah, I'm drinking coffee. We're good. The problem is I don't know where my coffee is.
Stand up and make sure you. Well, anyway.
Hands up. What?
Yeah. I was just looking here, and there are quite a lot of lost mines in the United States.
Am I NDS?
Yes. Well, that's nowadays. She's talking about the old days.
Oh.
Yeah. M-I-N-E.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I'm part of the former. Had a
lost
mind for years.
Yeah.
Yep. I would never argue with you, sir.
I mean, it's a terrible thing to lose. Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
It would seem it's also, historically speaking, a lot of people have actually lost their own minds. And I'm not the one in your noodle, but you're...
I can understand losing your car keys. I can understand losing your house key. I can't understand losing your mind. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's absolutely digestible as long as you can't remember what you lost.
Well, not only that, but how do you move the mind? I mean, it's not something that moves. How do you lose it? That's very true. That's disconcerting.
Yeah. Long story short, people leave lousy markers. They say, "Oh, wow! I found gold, spilling gold!" And they get so excited, and they go in and mine it and take it, and then they don't put down on the map properly where they left it.
I think it was like that. There's these two miners at a campsite, and one said, "Where did I put that map?" And the other guy, "Why do I smell smoke? What did you start that fire with?" Yeah.
Oh dear.
That's what happened.
Yeah. Oh my.
Some eerie house, eerie house history right there for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're learning so much today. And we haven't even gotten to our first moral, and we won't until we wrap up the parole now from suspense.
Oh, what a radio!
It's the best segue you're going to get tonight.
Yeah.
Cracker, this place is beginning to get on my nerves.
What's he doing?
No, he's just laying there, looking up at the stars.
Got that rope on him tight?
I got it on him so tight I'm going to have trouble getting it off of him in the morning. Say, Cracker.
Yeah?
You don't think there could be anything to what he's been telling us, do you?
You crazy? He's just been trying to see if he can scare us.
Yeah, I guess so.
You go hit the sack. We got a big day ahead of us.
Yeah, I know.
Well?
Nothing.
What's the matter, Willis? Something been eating at you since we started up here.
Well, I think you should have asked me before you gave him a third of the mine.
I haven't given him anything.
Well, you said you would.
Have we found it yet?
Well, now, you know we ain't.
Then, so far, he's got a third of nothing, that right?
Yeah, but, well, when we find it...
If we find it, it'll change all our lives, won't it?
Well, sure.
Change his, too. Permanently. You know? See what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
You are listening to The Peralta Map, starring Mr. Raymond Burr. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
And from here on, we go east. Come on. According to the map, it's somewhere up in one of those box canyons.
Yeah, but which one? There's five or six of them.
We gotta get up high. Look down on them.
All right. Oh, boy.
No, hold it, Willis. Country's getting too rough for horses. We leave them here and go in on foot.
Let's stop and take a look.
If the map's true, it should be somewhere right below us, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Let's see the map. Mediodia Easte.
Southeast. Which way is it?
Off here.
Willis!
Yeah?
Can you see Weaver's Needle from where you are?
Yeah.
You be careful on that ledge, Willis.
All right, now face the north. To your right. That's it. Now hold it.
You see anything about a mile off?
Yeah. Yeah, a kind of a hill.
Got a flat top?
Yeah.
Turn to your left easy. Yeah, that's it. Easy, that's enough.
Mine should be in a canyon right below where he's standing.
Willis, what's below you?
Huh?
What's right below you?
Canyon. There's two of them.
Boxes?
Yeah, both of them.
Should that be?
Uh-huh. The wrong canyon's got three swallows growing at the entrance to it.
Willis!
Yeah?
Willis, you've got $1 million below you. You hear me? Right below you.
What?
Willis! Come back here! Willis! Crazy fool's gonna break his neck running down that ledge.
Let him.
What?
We don't need him to find the mine.
Well, you don't need me either.
Sure no. I do, Lonnie. How'd I find my way down this mountain without you?
Willis! Willis! Cracker!
What happened to
Help
you?
Help me. That ledge up there. In the... Ooh, it's all shale. It went out from under me.
Well, here, let me see.
Hey, Lonnie.
Yeah, his leg's broken.
Lonnie, what do you call those funny-looking things sticking up over there?
Huh? Oh, swallows.
The mine's over behind that bluff about another 400 or 500 yards.
Cracker, you can't think about that mine. You got to get me out to a doctor.
Yeah, he's right, Mr. Cracker.
All the doctors I know, they say a man with broken bones shouldn't be moved.
What?
They say you should just cover him with a blanket.
Cracker, you stop talking like that.
Where's your rifle, Willis?
I dropped it back up there when I fell. Cracker, you're going to carry me out here, ain't you? Cracker? Lonnie?
We'll carry you aboard.
Well, I want to hear him say. Go on, Cracker.
Lonnie, we got maybe 3-4 more hours of daylight. If the mine's in that canyon, it's covered with brush.
Cracker.
It'll take us at least that long to clear it away.
Cracker, look.
We can't leave him here.
Please.
We'll come back for you on our way out, Will.
No. Don't leave me, please, Cracker. Please, huh?
I could carry him.
No, you're going to need your strength to help me. Now, let's go.
No. Wait. Cracker. Look, Cracker, I'll give you my share, you hear me? Cracker, I'll give you my share, please.
I'll be back for you, boy, as soon as I can.
Come on, Lonnie!
Here, you take my canteen. Now, make it last.
Cracker! Please! Cracker, please!
You find anything under these bushes? Anything that could be a sign?
Nope.
Let's measure it off again. Supposed to be 20 paces south of the entrance to this canyon, only there's no hill there. No way for him to have put in a shaft.
Now, wait a minute. Could be a glory hole.
A what?
Mine don't have to angle into any hillside. Glory hole, it goes into flat ground.
Yeah? All right, I'll count off the paces again. Then we'll dig. Straight down. Come on, Lonnie. Keep on digging. What's the matter? What are you quitting for?
I'm tired, and it's dark. Can't see what I'm doing.
Moon will be up soon. I'll keep digging. Come on, dig!
Cracker, you struck wood.
Yeah, I hear it.
That's it. The door
to
the mine.
Sounds good to you now, don't it?
We found it.
Well, listen, old man. We're rich.
Yeah.
You hear me? We're billionaires.
Hey.
You hear me, Lonely? Billionaires! Can you see down in there?
No, too dark. Oh, I clean forgot about Willis. Don't you think we ought to get him out to a doctor?
Not till I see what's in there.
Well, would it be all right with you if I was to just take him back to where the horses are?
No.
But I could somehow get him on a horse, and then he might be able to make it back alone.
You know better than that.
Well, then let me help him. I'll come back.
No, I want to find out about this tonight. I want to be sure we've opened up the Dutchman. You go get some of that brush we cleared off. We'll set fire to it and drop it down in there.
You say so.
Then hurry it up.
All right. Who's out there? Who is it?
Lonnie?
What?
Lonnie?
Mother in heaven. Willis, boy, you...
Oh, you stay right there, Lonnie.
Oh, boy, you crawled all that way.
More than that. I found my rifle now. I'm going to use it.
Now, listen, boy. We found the mine. You hear? We found it.
Is that what happened to you?
Well, he wouldn't let me go.
Are you sure? Or did you go and make a deal with him? Two of you split my share.
You know better than that. Now, let me help you.
No,
boy.
Now, you... Where is he?
That's the mine.
Where's that?
Over there, behind that brush.
You just call him out here. Go ahead.
Mr. Cracker!
What's taking you so long?
Willis!
What?
Willis is out here. You want to help me carry him in?
Lonnie, what are you talking about? Where are you? Lonnie!
Mr. Cracker?
He won't answer you, Lonnie.
No, don't guess he will. Well, come on, boy. I'll get you back to our camp and go for help.
Now, you hold it.
You put your arm around my neck. That's it. Now, drop the rifle, boy.
Huh?
Just hold on to me.
All right.
That's it. Now, let's go.
Lonnie, I'm not going to forget you for this. You're a good man. There ain't many men who'd carry me out like this. You know, most of them, they'd just leave me to die and get back later and claim the mine for themselves. What's the matter? What you stopping
for? I'm going back to the mine.
For what?
Cover it up.
What?
When we get out of here, I'm going to have to tell the sheriff everything that's happened. He'll send a posse in to get Cracker's body. Now, there's no sense in them finding the mine.
No, I guess there ain't.
Of course, that's ours. Now, you wait here for me.
Lonnie?
Yeah?
You remember, I'm dependent on you.
Don't worry, boy. Don't worry. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Yep. Willis? Who's out there? Can't be Willis. He's too far off. Who is it? Who's there?
Mr. Raymond Burr starred in William N. Robeson's production of The Peralta Map by Charles B. Smith. Listen. Listen again next week when we return with Frank Lovejoy in The Outer Limit, another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. Supporting Mr. Burr in The Peralta Map were Stacey Harris as Willis and Junius Matthews as Lowney.
Tony Dow as Wally. Tony Dow as Wally. Yes.
Gee, Wally.
Gee, Wally, did we learn anything? Erie House Radio proudly presents an actual, real, and authentic Gar's Moral of the Story.
Never trust a cross-eyed guy to lead you in a straight line.
I feel refreshed.
Well, we got to go wash our hands. Thanks.
Yeah, please. That's a must.
Uh-huh.
Before and after. That's right. That's the way to do it. Don't want to pick nothing up from one of those seats. You know,
there are tons of lost mines throughout the U.S. I'm just looking this up. I mean,
Give us a few there.
Just a few. You have the Lost Dutch Oven Mine, the Lost Cement Mine.
Dutch Oven?
Dutch Oven Mine, yeah.
I kid you not. It's Lost Mine is in and around San Bernardino, what is now San Bernardino County in California, the Lost Dutchman Mine. Long story short, a guy was doing a little prospecting and fell over an old rusted Dutch oven. He tripped over and found a handful of gold nuggets. He spent all of his gold, went back to the place, and couldn't remember where it was.
Well, this is certain ethnic miner.
Oh, dear.
Touch of a yeah. I love that.
And you had...
I love that story.
It is great.
That is tremendous.
A little bit of edumacation. To say nothing of the Three Skeletons Mine. Ooh.
Ooh, what's this one about?
Ooh, well, this one's in Colorado. The Three Skeletons Mine. Ooh, it's so secret. The link is even gone.
Okay. And for our next trick, for our next feature for tonight, because we got a whole lot of radio. You're going to dip back to, how about a little crime photography?
Yep. Neat thing about this show, as many episodes they had, several years it was on the air, it was written by the same guy who wrote all of the episodes of The Witch's Tale. Dean Alonzo Cole.
I sent you a book about that, didn't I?
You did, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, well, you know this is going to be good then. Casey Crime Photographer, I love this title, The Demon Miner. So you know he's under 21.
another hashtag moment coming on. Be careful.
Oh, yeah, the hashtag is hovering over my head right now. I better behave.
Go. Oh. Where are we at? The Devil's Miner?
Yeah.
Oh, the Demon Miner. Okay, there we go.
Demon Miner.
Demon.
Yeah.
Close to the devil, but not quite.
Yeah.
Just
I mean,
underling.
It would kind of run with the mythos of the devil. He's in heck, and that's in some the mental states located underground. Okay. Kind of specific, but so why wouldn't a good old demon be down there with the devil inside the ground? Why not?
Yeah. He could be having a good old time.
Isn't there some type of weird understanding that they're lizard people that live underground somewhere?
We're going to have an episode about that.
lizard people? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was any old-time radio about lizard people. That's scary.
Only on the Mad Scientist episodes. Only
on
the Mad Scientist.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's a radio show without lizard man? I mean, come on.
I think
that would be a Casey Crime Photographer, Dale. Yeah.
It would, and this one is entitled The Demon Miner. Still. and therefore, we're looking for an original broadcast date.
March 20, 1947.
Sure thing.
The Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation brings you Crime Photographer.
Hello, Miss Williams. Casey?
Hi, Ethelbert.
Ethelbert, do you know what Casey just wanted to do?
What, Miss Williams?
Well, they just put in a fresh cement sidewalk next door, and Casey wanted to stop and write his name in it. You'll never grow up.
Well, Casey's a great name.
Oh, well, I'll go you one better than that.
Oh, hello, Mr. Marvin.
Sure. What about Anchor Hawking? You know, Anchor Hawking is a great name in glass. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tony Marvin. Every week at this time, the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, and its more than 10,000 employees bring you another adventure of Casey Crime Photographer, ace cameraman who covers the crime news of a great city. Written by Alonzo Dean Cole, our adventure for tonight, The Demon Miner. Morning. A desolate little graveyard. In the distance, beyond the gray tombstones, can be seen the stark outlines of a towering coal breaker and row upon row of coal miners' cottages. Shivering in the cold rain, a small group of men stand bareheaded.
Won't be long now, Eddie.
No, Frank. In a couple of minutes, they'll start shoveling dirt on poor Joe's coffin.
This is the sixth time in just the last 2 months that you and me have come to the graveyard to watch a guy we've worked with put away.
I'm thinking of that, Frank.
I've known plenty of accidents to happen, but when six in a row get killed by fallen roof rock, one right after another in the same mine level, well, it makes you wonder.
Yeah, especially when you're cutting out coal in that level yourself like we are.
Some of the guys say there's a hoodoo on Bristol level, Eddie.
Old Gus Hapsel says there's worse than that.
I've heard what that guy says, but that old guy's crazy.
You think so, huh?
Huh?
Oh, hello, Gus.
I am just stand close by and hear you talk. So you think I'd be crazy, Frank, because I say a demon is killed man in Bristol Level at Stakeville Colliery.
Any guy who says that is crazy.
You do not know what we of old country know.
I was talking to a Welshman the other night, Frank, and he said when he comes from, and he comes from plenty of miners, there's something funny that happens underground. Spirits called knockers and spriggins and demon miners.
Nuts.
He says this demon miner works with a pick about 10 times the size of ours, a pick that makes a big hollow sound. And when guys hear it, it means someone's going to die.
I have heard that pick in Bristol Level. Also, I have seen the demon there.
I still say nuts.
It was when Nick Tanofsky got killed. I'm working place next to Nick. All at once I hear big thump, thump, thump. And I hear Nick yell. I run quick from my place to see what happened. And in the tunnel, number 5 tunnel, I see demon. He's dressed like miner, but his face is white.
White?
Yeah. He has big fat cheeks, not like a man's.
You tell that who it is somebody else.
All right, you be wise guy. But remember what I tell you. Someday in the mine, you will hear and see the demon miner.
Hand me some more tamping bags, Eddie.
Here, Frank.
I've only got one more charge to fix, and then we'll hook up to the firing box.
You're putting in a lot of powder.
30 sticks. You know, we've got the old croaker working next to us today.
Gus?
Gloomy Gus. He's got 63 place. While you were out getting powder a while ago, he came in here to borrow my pick. Said he busted a handle of his. He's as crazy as a bat. He started right in about the evil spirits again. I guess I made him sore at the cemetery the other day.
He seems to really believe he saw that demon miner.
And he ought to have his eyes examined, or his head.
Hello, guys.
Huh?
Oh, hello, Douglas.
Hello.
I just thought I'd tip you fellas off that the inside foreman's down here again this morning checking up. The big bosses don't like all the accidents that's been happening.
That don't bother me and Eddie.
Oh, I forgot, Frank. You're the one of the best boss miners we got here, and of course, you wouldn't let your little helper Eddie get careless.
Now, look here, Douglas. You're supposed to be an electrician. All your cables and connections are out in the tunnel, not in here. Suppose you attend to him.
Sociable guy, ain't you, Frank?
With people I like.
Okay. So long, Eddie.
So long, Douglas.
Someday I'm going to poke that guy right in the nose. I'm no hypocrite. And I'd like you better, Eddie, if you had a little more guts enough to tell him off. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry, fella.
It's okay. I know I'm kind of a soft.
You're all right. And we'll have a couple of beers when we knock off. On me.
Thanks, Frank.
Well, everything is set here. I'll string these fuse wires to the box outside. Pick up those tools and come on.
Yeah. The inside foreman spends most of his time in Bristol Level these days.
The accidents here have got him plenty worried.
Mr. Travers is a nice guy. Too bad he wasn't made superintendent.
And Travers would have made a good super. I guess he was plenty sore when Bill Jerome got the job. Well, I'm all hooked up, Eddie. Sing out the warning.
Okay.
Here she goes.
Up a lot of dust.
It'll settle in a minute, and we can start loading the cars.
Oh, just touch one off, Frank?
Hey, yeah, Mr. Travers. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you, Eddie?
Okay, Mr. Travers.
Have you fellas seen that electrician Douglas around here?
Just a few minutes ago. He went down tunnel number 5.
Oh, thanks. I want him to do a job.
Yeah.
Frank.
Yeah?
You and Eddie are always careful to test roof rock after you blast.
Oh, sure, Mr. Travers.
Okay. See you later.
He's worried, all right.
Yeah, but he ain't as worried as that new super is. Jerome's the guy the big bosses hold responsible for production. And that's dropped off plenty on account of them accidents.
Yeah. A lot of guys are superstitious. They won't work in Bristol Level anymore.
Croaking old gloomy Gus has had a lot to do with that. Well, dust should be settled by now. Let's go back.
Okay.
Hand me that safety lantern. It burns all right. No gas is here.
Cold broke up nice.
Gus has my pick. Get it from him, Eddie. I'll use yours to sound the roof rock while you're gone.
I'll get your pick from Gus.
It's solid here. This is okay. That chunk has to come off. Yeah, everything looks all right now. Officer. Makes that knocking. Hey, who are you coming in here? That white face.
What is it, Mr. Don't! Don't! Don't!
There's been a seventh peculiar death in that Slateville coal mine, huh, Casey?
Yeah, happened yesterday, Ethelbert. A miner named Frank Adams was killed.
Apparently by a piece of falling roof rock, like the other men before him.
Yeah, and a few minutes ago, City Desk gave Annie and me an assignment to go to Slateville and look around.
Mm-hmm. We're taking an early train tomorrow. Want to come along, Ethelbert?
Who, me? After last week, I've had enough excitement.
Oh, you're a softy. Well,
you'll write up the story, Miss Williams, and Casey will take pictures, huh?
Oh, no, our assignment's a little bigger than that this time, Ethelbert.
Yeah?
The superintendent of the mine knows Casey. And while the state police have all the facts, he's asked the paper to have Casey do a little private investigating.
You're going to Slateville as detectives, huh?
Bill Jerome, the super, knows about a couple of lucky breaks I've had working with the cops. So he's got an idea that Well, I don't know. When I'm in the city here, I know my way around. I've got a lot of smart, friendly cops to back me up when I make a play, but, well, I don't know anything about coal mines.
Afraid you won't do so good when you're on your own, huh?
I think our boyfriend has a case of cold feet, Ethelbert.
Huh? What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Annie. Look, I'll see you for later.
Where are you going?
Well, I'm going to the public library. I'm gonna read up on coal mines. And when I see Bill Jerome tomorrow, I won't be altogether a dope.
Well, Casey, this latest roof rock accident differed from the previous ones in an important particular. Frank Adams lived long enough to mumble a few words.
Yeah? What were they, Bill?
White-faced demon miner.
Demon miner. Say anything else?
Nothing that could be distinguished.
This Gus Hapsel you mentioned, he described the demon miner before as having a white face, didn't he?
Yeah, after Nick Tarnowski was killed.
Yes, and this thing was dressed in miner's working clothes and had very fat cheeks.
Yeah.
Well, who was the first to reach this miner, Frank Adams?
Gus Hapsel was. He usually worked next to Adams, but he'd gone to borrow a pick. Gus says he heard Adams scream and he hurried back.
Yeah, was Eddie Bliss the second to reach Adams?
Yeah. A few seconds later, he and Gus were joined by one of our electricians, a man named Douglas. And George Travers, our inside foreman. Gus claims that after the scream, he saw a shadowy figure disappear into a passage off number 5 tunnel. He's sure it was the demon miner.
Where were the other two men?
Douglas and Travers were in number 5 tunnel, too, but at a considerable distance from each other.
Uh-huh.
You've got to find out what's in back of this, Casey. The demon miner theory is ridiculous, of course, but it's ruined morale, cut production in half. Now that Adam's dying words apparently confirm the demon story, we're in for further trouble.
Yeah. Well, just one more question, Bill.
Huh?
Like on previous occasions, was a large piece of roof rock found near the dead man's head?
Yeah. A slab of rock that'd take 3 or 4 big men to lift.
3 or 4?
Yes, Miss Williams. As in the other cases, Adam's hard hat had been crushed and his skull fractured.
What's a hard hat, Mr. Jerome?
Well, it's...
It's the miner's name for the protective helmet he's required to wear, Annie.
Oh.
Yeah. I know a little bit about mines and miners. Library. Well, we'll go down to the mine, Bill, to Bristol Level.
Yeah, I'll arrange for it right away. My inside foreman's waiting in the other office. George, come in, please.
Okay, Jerome.
Miss Williams, Mr. Casey, this is Mr. Travis.
How do you do, Mr. Travis?
How do you do? I know you. Nice to know you. I've told you about these friends of mine, George. They want to get acquainted with Bristol Level. I'd like you to be their guide.
Well, all right. Mr. Travis, what's your opinion of these accidents and the Demon Miner?
Same as mine, Casey. Both are phony.
Why don't you let me speak for myself, Jerome?
Well, George...
I never went to college like you, but I grew up around mines. My father was a miner in England. He's told me about strange, unexplainable things that happened there, and... Well, I'm not sure that there aren't demon miners.
Well, you're not serious.
You can quote me if you like. Miss Williams, Mr. Casey, I'll get you overalls, hard hats, and lamps.
Huh. Travis is a nice fellow, Casey, but he thought he should have had the job I got.
I see. Yes. I want to become better acquainted with Travis. Yeah. Meet Douglas, Eddie Bliss, and old Gus.
Planning interesting, well-balanced menus is hard enough at any time, and during Lent, it's doubly difficult. But here's one more occasion when Fire King Oven Glass comes to the rescue. All sorts of delicious, nourishing meals can be planned around a single big Fire King Oven Glass casserole dish. Macaroni and cheese, baked with milk and covered with a magnificent crown of golden cracker crumbs. Old-fashioned New England baked beans with a rich brown molasses sauce. Escalloped oysters, and literally hundreds of other mouth-watering main courses. Fire King Oven Glass is a must in American homes for these four all-important reasons. It simplifies the planning of meals. It simplifies housekeeping because it cuts dishwashing time by a full two-thirds. It saves the precious vitamins which are boiled out of foods in top of the stove cooking. And its cost? Well, it's incredibly low. Ask for Fire King Oven Glass at your favorite chain, variety, hardware, or department store. Each piece is guaranteed for a full 2 years against oven breakage. Beautiful, practical, inexpensive Fire King Oven Glass is a product of Anchor Hawking. A great name in glass.
That's a great way to end. A great name in glass.
Nah, commercial's over. Commercial's over. Back to the show.
Back to the show, kids. We're here in the studio just learning more and more and more as we go along. We're only halfway through, just checking you.
The name of the story so far, attention. When in doubt, punt.
That's right.
Yeah.
You asked for it.
I just received on a text from a friend who announced that the maker of autocorrect has passed away. Yeah. The fun will be held tomorrow.
Yep, that's the end of autocorrect apparently. It's over now.
Game over. I heard a joke earlier this week. A female comedian said that she wanted to make more jokes about the word misogyny, but she couldn't spell it.
That's simple. IT. I can spell that.
Oh, there you go.
IT.
She kept spelling it M-A-S-S, and then it would auto-correct to massage. He was like, ooh, no. Because misogyny, it sounds like that, but it's not too different. Anyway.
Get it. Got it.
Got it.
Got it.
Got it.
Wrote it down.
When in doubt, punt. That's
yes.
That's a life lesson there.
That's right. There might be a lot of that on Sunday, huh, Dave? Anyway.
Probably.
It's a football gag, folks. A football
yeah,
gag.
Yeah, I don't know anything about football, but I know, you know, at any point in time, it's okay to punt.
Yes.
Anytime.
fourth and long. Or as we like to say, fourth and browns.
Yeah.
Got a whole lot of radio. Let's wrap up.
I understand we do.
Oh. Let's see what Casey does with this demon miner business.
Let's see.
And
let's
here
see.
We go with the incredible conclusion. Get it. The violin got me.
Now, the place where Frank Adams was killed is only a few hundred feet ahead now, Mr. Casey.
Well, we've really been... Golly, I never dreamed that coal mines had telephones in them and electric lights.
The lights aren't very bright.
Well, that's because coal dust settles on them.
Yeah. Well, where's the passage that Gus said this demon miner went into?
Over there. You can see it leading off just ahead.
Oh. Frank's place is right here.
In that dark hole?
Yes, Miss Whitman. You must depend on our cap lights alone when we go in there.
Well, let's go in. Granny, I'll help you. It's kind of rough going.
Okay, thanks.
Now, Frank and his helper had just blasted a face before he was killed. Naturally, the coal's heaped all over. Jerome gave orders not to let anything be touched. Here we are.
Yeah. Show me where you found the dead guy.
There. You can see the bloodstains.
This the slab of rock that's blamed for the death?
Yes.
Must weigh half a ton, Casey.
Yeah, at least.
That you in there, Travers?
Yes, who?
It's me, Douglas. Super phoned down for me to meet you here.
Where's Daddy Bliss and old Gus?
How should I know? They supposed to be here, too?
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is Miss Williams and Mr. Casey, Bert Douglas.
How are you doing, Mr. Douglas?
Look, if you're a cop, Mr. Casey, I might as well tell you right now. I don't know anything about those accidents.
You think they've been accidents, Douglas?
Well, I certainly don't believe in that demon miner stuff.
Maybe you have more sense if you do believe.
Well, here's old gloomy Gus and helper Eddie.
Hello, Mr. Travers. Hello, Douglas. Gus and I just got a message.
Mr. Casey here and Miss Williams want to have a talk with all of you. Eddie Bliss and Gus Hapsel.
How do you do?
All I know about the accident, Mr. Casey, is that poor Frank was lying there with Gus kneeling beside him when I come running in and... That big slab of roof rock...
That hunk of roof rock did not kill Frank Adams. It was the demon miner's peak that bust his head.
Ah, you're nuts, Gus.
Maybe he isn't, Douglas.
Say, Mr. Travers, you don't think...
I'm keeping an open mind.
Wonder how this got here.
What'd you just pick up out of that coal, Mr. Casey?
Nothing, nothing at all.
Casey?
It was something. You just stuck it in your pocket.
Yeah, I see you,
too. Never mind, we'll talk about it later. Well, now, there's no reason for me to keep you from your work. You can go ahead.
Go after we just got here?
Yeah, Douglas. Yes. I want to talk to all of you again about an hour from now.
Okay. Going down number 5, Eddie?
Yes, Douglas.
Come on. This is screwy. Taking that guy off his job and...
You want to talk with me later, huh?
Yes, Gus.
All right. I go back to work.
Mr. Casey, I don't quite understand.
Look, I'd like to examine this place with Miss Williams alone, Mr. Travers, if you don't mind.
Well, you want me to go, too.
Yeah, if you don't mind. Only outside in the tunnel for a few minutes. I'll call you when I'm through here.
All right, I'll wait for your call.
What's this all about, Casey?
Annie, I want one of those four guys to get very nervous.
All of them seem very nervous when they left just now. Yeah. What was it you picked up out of the coal?
Here, take a look.
A black... Powder puff.
It's just an ordinary powder puff covered with coal dust, Annie. And underneath the coal dust, when I ruffle it up
it's
like
full
this...
full of white powder.
Get it, Annie? The white face of the demon miner.
A man covered his coal-grimed face with white powder?
Sure.
And
then after he made his kill, all he had to do was to rub some coal dust on his face over the powder, and he could reappear almost instantly in his normal character.
Listen, all of those 7 men have been murdered, then.
I think so, Annie.
But how nobody could lift the huge rocks that crushed their skulls?
Annie, look. Couldn't the killer have bashed his victims with a hunk of rock that he could handle... and then have dragged the bodies over near another piece too big to handle, just to make things look like they weren't?
Uh-oh. But why were the murders committed? And who done it?
I don't know yet. Look, I'm going to call Travers back and leave you here with him. With the excuse that I want to explore some of those side passages alone, which I do. After that, I'm going to make whoever dropped that powder puff a very nervous guy.
You're back.
back, Mr. Casey.
Yes, sorry, Travers. I had to keep you and Miss Williams waiting over
an
hour.
Hold the contact very quickly, Casey. Yeah. Mr. Travers here has been furthering my education about coal mines.
That's good. Mr. Travers, I'm going to throw a question at you. If the recent deaths here were really murders, whom would you suspect of committing them?
I think the man you should investigate is Douglas.
Hmm. Huh? Why?
Well, he's always got a chip on his shoulder. He doesn't like anybody. Nobody likes him.
Have you got anything real on Douglas?
No.
Okay, well, look, would you bring him in here and old Gus and Eddie Bliss? I'd like to talk to all of you together.
All right, I'll be back with him just as soon as possible.
Annie, these boys seem to be playing a game, you know that? Each one trying to throw suspicion on the other.
Did you learn anything worthwhile from the others?
No. The killer knows he lost that powder puff, and he suspects that I found it in this pile of coal. So he's afraid, see? He's going to try to get it back and to bump off the only two people who know about it.
You don't mean us.
Yeah, who else? Annie, switch off your cap light.
Oh, now, why?
Look, I want you to stay here in this corner in total darkness. I'll be at the other end of this little working where I can be seen.
Ooh.
Don't worry. I'll be set for trouble, Annie. Go ahead, turn the light off.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but...
Now we wait.
All right. Hey, you know, Casey, I've been thinking about that powder puff. It can account for the dead white face of the demon miner, but it doesn't explain the puffy cheeks and all that. Casey.
What?
That powder puff you found was mine.
What? Yours?
Of course I had one of that size in a pocket of these overalls before we came
Annie,
down here, and now it's gone.
Annie, for... Look, this means the whole idea's cockeyed. Why didn't you tell me?
Well, I didn't know it was gone till now. It never occurred to me to look until I just... Casey, do you hear that knocking?
I sure do.
That is the sound of a giant pick.
Annie, you stay here.
Don't leave me, Casey. It's coming closer. Oh, Casey, that thing! Listen, this nothing isn't human. It is a demon. And look out, it's going to kill you.
Oh, it's not!
Casey!
I'm okay, Annie. You only broke my cap light.
Yeah, but I can't see.
Annie, he's broken away from me. Turn on your light so I can see,
just
will you?
Just a minute, I can't find the switch. Okay, there, I have it now.
Where is he?
Well, the... thing seems to be gone.
Wait a minute. He ran back into the tunnel, Annie. I'm going after him.
Don't leave me.
You stay there.
Oh, gee. All right.
I didn't run into
you,
the tunnel. I was behind this pile of coal.
Did you come any closer to me? Keep away. Don't leave.
Now no one will find us. Did the lady faint? Or did my fingers press too tight on her throat? We'll switch on a cap light so we can see.
What?
The lady is afraid when she sees my face.
Where have you brought me?
To an old working of the mine that's boarded up. No one but me knows that the boards can be moved like a door. I fixed them that way.
You're a man. You're not anything supernatural.
Look at me. These big cheeks. Just wide mouthed. Your friend Casey was trying to trap me, but he won't trap me. And to pay him for his meddling, you are going to die.
No!
Yes,
no.
After you're dead, he'll feel the pick in his skull. Only it's not a pick I use. It's a heavy rock. Like this! Oh, don't! Please, don't!
He won't! It's okay, kid. I got a demon miner right on the button. I spotted this place when I was snooping around a while ago.
Casey, you know, you got here just in time.
Seems like it. Yeah, that rat's coming, too. Let's have a look at it. Well.
Let me go.
Casey. Casey, it's Eddie Bliss.
Yeah. Meek little Eddie.
Yes. Meek little Eddie. A guy without guts. That's what chumps have always
thought me. 30 years I've worked in mines as a helper. They wanted to keep me just a shoveler of coal. A helper! I've shown them what I can do now. Little bosses like Frank Adams and big bosses like the super. I made guys afraid to work here. Yes. I've killed. I'm the boss now. I'm the boss now.
Casey, they never sent him to the jail.
No, it's a squirrel's nest for Eddie.
There are still a few things I don't understand about this.
Well, I can explain them to you, kid, after I get a camera. I've got to take some pictures of this demon miner.
You know, I was brought up on a farm, and we used to figure we were pretty lucky, particularly when we thought of the people who lived in the cities. Why, all year round we enjoyed fresh food, fish from the lake below our farmhouse, caught through the ice in the wintertime, and fresh vegetables from the vegetable cellar, magnificent hams and sausages during the slaughtering time after Christmas. Well, now that I've become a city man myself, I find that there's no longer any need to envy the people back on the farm. Crystal clear, sanitary anchor glass containers bring you all the products of orchard, field, and stream packed at the very peak of perfection 12 months a year. And then, too, glass lets you see exactly what you buy before you buy it. Glass containers preserve their contents perfectly with no effect on taste or flavor. They're easy and safe to open and can be resealed to protect the unused portions. Anchor glass containers and easy-to-remove anchor vacuum caps, so widely used for the packaging of foods of all kinds, are products of Anchor Hawking. A great name in glass.
I can see why heavy powder accounts for the guy having a white face in that dirty mine, Casey. But how did he make his cheeks so white?
Well, that was simple, Ethelbert. He used an old kid trick, stuffed a couple of walnuts in his mouth.
Which, of course, bulged out his cheek, widened his mouth, and distorted his voice. But when Casey hit him...
Yeah, he coughed him out.
There's one more thing. The sound of that giant pick you heard.
Well, Eddie made that sound by bumping a rock drill against a wall. Boy... did we have luck in busting that case, Ethelbert? You know, Annie, since it was your powder puff that I found in that coal, I can't understand why Eddie made that risky attempt to kill us. He had no reason to believe that we had any evidence, and we didn't have. Boy, I'm a hot detective, Aura. Everything that I did was based on that powder puff, you know?
Casey.
Hmm?
I have a confession to make.
What's that?
I found my powder puff in my coat pocket. I didn't even take it in the mine.
You didn't?
Nope.
Ethelbert, what's this stuff I hear about a small timer called Sherlock Holmes?
Crime Photographer, starring Stotts Cotsworth as Casey, is brought to you each Thursday by the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation, makers of Fire King Oven Glass. Anchor glass containers, anchor caps and closures. All products of the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation. A great name in glass.
Thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you.
Crime Photographer is directed by John Dietz and features Miss Leslie Woods as Anne and John Gibson as Ethelbert. Eddie was played by Ted Osborne. Thursday night on CBS is the biggest show in town, so stay tuned for exciting dramatizations on Reader's Digest Radio Edition, which follows
immediately over these stations. Oh, that sounds exciting. The condensed version.
The Red Cross, carries on for veterans, for military hospitals, and for all communities in time of disaster. You can help by giving generously now. This is Tony Marvin saying goodnight for the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, the world's largest maker of household glass. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Yay, Hawking Glass. Huzzah.
Actually, it was originally right here in Ohio, Dale, the Anchor Hawking Glass Company.
Yeah.
Headquartered right here.
Oh, wow.
My exposure to the Anchor Hawking Company is not in bakeware or in mason jars, but in the 1960s, they understood that if they put a logo on their cups, they could sell them. And I've got Batman cups, and I also have the now defunct Burger Chef cup from the 70s and 60s.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
Cool.
I used to have those, and I wish I would have saved them, the Flintstones on the old jelly jars. The jelly jars.
Yep. I used to have those Arby's BC glasses myself.
Mm-hmm. I own two of them.
Anchor Hawking or Arby's?
No, the BC
Arby's
glasses. Yeah, the BC glasses.
They're
old.
Just,
they're real old. They're BC. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, BC before computers, yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
What was there a time before computers? I'm sorry, you're speaking of, the Jurassic period. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we had dial-up, but there wasn't a time, I don't think my sons remember, before computers or internet.
I worked on a mainframe when I was working at the Orange County Public School System. 9,268 jobs, remember, and that was one. working on a mainframe. Now if you say that, people go, huh, what, you do, what?
I always would.
The Burger Chef was fun. If you remember, the commercials on the airways on TV was Burger Chef and Jeff.
Yes,
and they
yes.
had all these, they had monsters like the Wolf Burger and the Dracula Burger and all this other stuff.
Yep.
There is actually an interesting story. Yeah. I don't know if we have time for it, about how they came to be Burger Chef. Actually, it was two guys that created this restaurant equipment, and they couldn't get people to buy this restaurant equipment. They said, well, let's start our own restaurant. And they started up the Burger Chefs, and they went up all over the place. And then people started buying their equipment. Next thing you know, Hardee's bought them out to close them down. And that's why every once in a while, if you're around the Hardee's, they will roll out the Big Chef for you to buy for a week or two.
I understood General Mills owns the Burger Chef company, and they just came up with the idea, we're going to wash our hands of restaurant and get back to cereal, and then they let it go. And it was the Hardee company that did acquire them. Yeah,
right.
They
sold them out to the Hardee's. The two guys sold it out to the General Mills.
See,
the General Mills sold it to Hardee's, and Hardee's closed them down.
I heard there was a scandal with Jeff.
Well,
I heard that Jeff had a moral for the story.
He did his 12 years, and he was okay after that, you know?
Yeah, well, after the rehab. I think he went to the same place the whole Lugosi went. I'm not sure. I don't know. That's a fun fact. Here's another fun fact. Erie House Radio proudly presents an actual Gar's Moral of the Story.
A disgruntled employee is better than a dismembered one.
I don't know. Can you be gruntled? I can be disgruntled, but can you be gruntled?
Guy is gruntled. There you go.
He is gruntled, yes.
He is gruntled.
That was a gruntled yodel.
Yeah, I think he stepped on something is what happened there.
Probably a Lego.
Yeah. Oh, man, that would do it. That would do it.
Yeah. He stepped on a Lego in a defunct Burger Chef restaurant. That's what happened.
Very, very thought of it. It's painful.
While he was in rehab.
with Bela Lugosi. All right. One
with
more to go. Here's Sanctum. Here's Sanctum.
This is turning into a saga.
What did I say?
This mining tale is called The Devil's Fortune.
Oh, okay.
Originally broadcast.
I didn't know January had 31 days.
It
January 31st, 1949.
31.
Good evening, friends.
Selling me up.
This
and
is your host
here,
to welcome you through the creaking door into the inner sanctum. Come in, come in. I've been reading my fan mail. Huh? Oh, sure, I get lots of it. Delivered in a hearse every morning. One lonely heart writes, despite your sinister voice, you strike me as a fine gentleman and a homebody. I am companionable, good-natured, unmarried, and I've been hardly dead a year. Won't you please exchange photographs signed Lonesome? Did somebody say the lady spook out of turn? Tonight's Inner Sanctum Mystery, The Devil's Fortune, was written by John Robert and stars Carl Swenson in the role of Tracy with Charles Irving as McNamara. And now for tonight's chaos. In the deep hinterland of Mexico, on the ground level over a mine shaft, a ceremony is being performed by a frightened group of men. A ceremony of fear. Drums beat, and a roaring fire licks at the night sky. Underground in the mine called El Fortuna Diablo, the Devil's Fortune, floodwaters rise slowly to choke off all life in the shaft. Clinging to the elevation of a ledge, trapped and at bay, with the waters lapping at his ankles, is a young man. His expression is desperate as he fires a gun into the subterranean shadows at an unseen target.
Give me a break, Mac. I got a right to live.
Tracy, you better come out of your hands up or drown. I'm waiting just around the
hill. Yeah, with your gun cocked, ready to shoot me down.
Just waiting. Take all the time you need making up your mind, Tracy. Choose the way you want
to die. Choose the way I want to die. Mac will get me even if it costs him his own life. Mac happened to me in a furnished room across the border in El Paso. I came out of a stupor one morning, opened my eyes blearily, and there was Big Mac sitting on a chair. Hey, who are you, mister?
Never mind, kid. Right now, you're more interested in the third man in the room.
Third man?
Over there, propped in the corner, with a knife stuck in his chest.
Why?
Recognize him?
Yeah, sure. Coombs. We were making the rounds together last night. Who killed him?
You did.
What?
Check the knife. See if it's yours. I'll give you the details, kid. At about 2 a.m., you got into a quarrel with Coombs outside the Hotel Navajo. I happened to be around, taking it all in. You're a mining engineer, but you haven't worked in a year. You were stewing over your hard luck. You took it out on Coombs.
It's hard to believe that...
Take the corpse's pulse, and then believe it. You blacked out, and I hustled you both up here.
Why?
To give you a choice. Either I call the cops, or the three of us go for a ride. We'll dump Coombs somewhere, and then the two of us push on into the interior of Mexico. Is it a deal?
Why are you helping me? What's in it for you, Mr.
McNamara. You're a crack mine engineer. I need a crack mine engineer that I can trust. Your knife in Coombs means I can trust you anytime, anywhere.
We dumped Coombs, and 2 days later, we were 500 miles inside Mexico.
Mac?
Huh?
I've been thinking. That story that you palmed off on me about Coombs, you stuck that knife in him.
Well, maybe. But you'll never be able to prove it now.
Mac, you're crazy.
And you're soft. Soft and sentimental. The world's an anthill. Knifing Coombs was like stepping on an ant. Get tough, Tracy. Think big.
How big?
This big. I've got a map here. Yeah. Read off the name.
El Fortuno Diablo.
An abandoned gold mine just outside a native village called Alicante. All boxed in and boarded up. Hasn't been worked in 20 years. A fortune's been laying around begging for takers.
Well, why hasn't anybody worked the mine?
Fright. They're all petrified with fright. From the owner, a chump named Parento, right on down the line to everybody in town. There's a legend about the mine that scares them. The devil is supposed to make his headquarters there.
See, the map is spotted with blood. Whose blood is that, Mac?
The chump who had the map previous to me. He called himself Klondike. He lay there drooling over the map, whispering to himself about El Fortuno Diablo. Week in and week out, month after month, I listened to Klondike whispering to himself.
Lay there? Lay where, Mac?
I had to break his hand open to get the map out of his fingers.
Where were you, Mac?
I'll tell you sometime, Tracy. Sometime when you get out of line, maybe, you'll wish I hadn't told you.
We reached Alicante, a bleak, backward village, where civilization came trickling in slowly by donkey cart over narrow mountain passes.
From here on, kid, watch me operate.
How are you going to get El Fortuno Diablo?
Steal it. We steal the mine from a Senor Parento, that owner I told you about. It's all fixed. Tonight, Parento's being told the hoodoo is off the mine and that he's a dope not to cut me in as a partner and start operating El Fortuno Diablo full blast.
Who's telling all this to Parento?
The one guy he'll listen to and believe. What passes for the village wise man in these parts? A joker named Montesano. Montesano has this town organized, like Al Capone used to operate in Cicero. Everybody's scared not to listen to Montesano.
Well, why will Montesano play ball with you?
A gun in his ribs and 500 bucks in his palm. Just you watch how Montesano plays ball.
I watched Montesano bat a home run for McNamara. We were in a room with Montesano, Parento, and a sharp-nosed fella named Salvador. Salvador acted as a sort of bodyguard, advisor, and local technical expert to Parento.
You will work the mine, Parento. You and the Senor McNamara.
Boy, they're legenda del Diablo.
The curse is no more. When your father was killed, he put the 20-year curse on El Fortuno Diablo. Now the time is over.
But the man, they will not work the mine. In all Alicante, I can find nobody to work the mine.
You will tell everybody in Alicante and in the mountains that Montesano say it is good to work the mine.
Machinery trickled in by cart over the mountain passes. Fearful workers grumblingly responded to Montesano's call. The shafts were rebuilt, and the mine began operating. At the end of the first week, McNamara played his trump card. He stole the mine. It was Sunday, the day off. Parento and his man Salvador had just left a conference with Mac. Mac was laughing. The kind of laugh that meant he was grinding his heels into an anthill again.
Happy days, Tracy.
You've pushed your master plan another foot forward, huh?
A mile, Tracy. Ah, take a gander at this. It's a contract for purchase. For a dollar and other valuable considerations, Parento signs the whole mine over to Mr. McNamara.
Parento signed this?
Yeah, he did. But he thought he was signing a requisition for supplies from Tampico. I pulled the old document switch on him.
Mac, that's an outright steal. Parento will call you a liar and a thief.
He'll never get that chance, Tracy.
Mac, what are you up to with Parento?
Parento and his stooge, Salvador, have just gone into the mine for an administrative look around. At my suggestion. And Tracy, I've got a hunch they're going to meet up with that El Diablo.
Mac, what have you done?
Those other valuable considerations I gave Parento. They were a couple of lunch boxes, packed nice and appetizing with chicken sandwiches and hot drinks. In just 1 minute, I'm going to pull the steam whistle cord so that Parento and Salvador get the idea that it's noontime and they're hungry. Mm-hmm. Minutes up.
Mac, what's the connection? What have lunch boxes got... Mac!
Now you're smartening up, kid. The box is open on a wire like a booby trap. Reach for a sandwich and... smoke gets in your eyes.
Mac, I'm not going to let you blow up.
Freeze, chump. This is a gun in your ribs.
Thanks.
If you're itching to throw in with Parento and Salvador...
Mac!
Parento and Salvador got hungry. Now we're really in the mining business, Tracy. Big.
Yep, they're in the mining business, bigly, or largely.
Very bigly, yeah.
Yes.
Very bigly.
Very bigly.
Just like Ed Bigley.
It's not so good, though, when you're in the mining and your partner is the devil.
That's true. Well,
oh, dear. Oh, wow.
It depends what he's offering.
That severance package doesn't sound too good.
Yeah.
No, that's not sweetening the deal at all, actually.
Yeah, you'll end up mining in that other place, and not for good stuff.
Yeah, I can't dig down too deep. There's a problem there.
Yes. I like this Raymond, Dave. This is one of my good Raymonds. Hosting
that's
this
true.
One.
There were more than two, but only two major ones. Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
This guy, I look at it, he's very jovial about being macabre.
Yes.
Or macabre.
You don't have to like his jokes. Mm-hmm. He'll laugh. My kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to like his jokes. Mm-hmm. He likes them fine enough himself. So there you go.
That's yes. Right. Absolutely.
Nice. But isn't it nice to be jovial and macabre, macaroon?
I don't know. It's good to be Friday night in old time radio with our friends Fogsby and good old Bob listening in live. I know one of my workmates, Chris, is listening this weekend. A lot of folks, some of them don't always log in. They just catch us in the archive, which you can at www.blogtalkradio.com/DaleK. Just think about what...
A plethora of shows there, Dale. A plethora.
A plethora is more than two.
That's right.
Another fine fact you learned right here on Erie House.
A myriad of shows galore.
Yeah. And, we will wrap things up with Inner Sanctum, The Devil's Fortune. Let's wrap it up. We'll be back in 14 minutes and 30 seconds.
When the bodies came out of El Fortuno Diablo,
that was beautiful.
Mac and I were out walking The idea was the Sunday explosions happened mysteriously while we were away. That night at the hospital, I talked to the local doc.
Poor Parento. We didn't even find enough of him to make a decent burial.
Oh. Blown to bits. And Salvador?
Well, with Salvador, it was a miracle, Senor Tracy. Salvador lives, but not his face. Now, when the bandages come off one day, it will not be the face of the Salvador we knew. Just like his mind, poor Salvador left his face behind him in El Fortuno Diablo.
Parento, blown to bits, and Salvador with his head swathed in bandages. McNamara's master plan was going great. Now the mine worked full blast, round the clock, day and night. Montesano was on hand when needed, telling everybody the hex was off, keeping the men in line for Mac. The men were working overtime, but so was the accident emergency bell connecting the shaft to the shack we supervised from. The bell meant an injury, or worse.
Tracy, if it's another casualty, I'll fry somebody in oil. We're running a mining operation, not a hospital.
It wasn't a hospital case this time. It was a case for the coroner. In the mine shaft, face upward, with his eyes fixed and unwinking, lay a miner, Miguelito.
All of a sudden, Senor Miguelito, he let out a cry and dropped to the ground. I live 1,000 años and I never forget Miguelito's cry.
What killed him, Tracy?
Well, nothing apparent, Mac. No wound, nothing. Shock, I'd say, from the look on his face.
It was El Diablo. El Diablo coming for Miguelito. His face is black, and standing from the side of his head, I see horns.
Not that line of talk, Manuelo. You're scaring the men. The scared men don't mind gold.
Señor McNamara, is it true? It was the devil who come before Miguelito. See? Look there to the ground. El Diablo leave his footprints.
We looked, and there, clearly defined in the soft dirt, was a print. A hoof print.
Mac, it's a hoof. It's a cloven hoof.
Tracy, so help me, if you blow your top in front of the men. Miguelito had a heart attack, man. He was just a kid, not up to being a miner. Now everybody back to work.
The men went back to mining for gold. And the emergency bell kept ringing.
Tracy.
Yes?
Go fetch that Alicante wise man. Tell Montesano the men need another spiel about how the devil has called it quits and the hoodoo's off the mine.
Has the devil called quits, Mac?
Tracy, you blow your top and I'll blow your head off. I'm here to mine gold. If I have to kill every mother's son of you and work the mine myself.
How do you explain the 4 murdered men, then?
Bad hearts, the 24-hour shift. Maybe the men got to brawling among themselves down there. It's easier to blame a killing on the devil than face a murder rap. Now what?
That's the fire bell. Fire, Mac. Another omen of disaster. Your gold mine is going up in smoke. The mine was a raging inferno. Mac ran around like a wild man, barking orders, working with superhuman energy.
Fireman, and I'll double everybody's pay.
Hey,
Arthur, let the fire get out of control and lose the mine, and I'll sing every living one of you a farewell lullaby with this.
Mac was threatening them with a sample submachine gun spray. He meant mass murder, and the men knew it.
Yeah, you're slowing up, man. Maybe a little music will give you more inspiration.
It was an impossible task. But the men got the fire out.
Tracy.
Yes?
About those hoof prints around the mine. The cloven hoof. I've been giving it a lot of thought.
I thought those things didn't bother you.
Not like they bother you, chump. They bother me another way. To me, it's a gimmick. And I get nervous if I can't figure out how a gimmick operates.
A gimmick? I don't get you.
We'll take a walk tonight, the two of us. And I'll show you what I figured out. I've been playing timekeeper to the devil for a week now. Clocking him in and clocking him out.
We took that walk. With a wind at our back, we hauled up outside a deserted mud house, located halfway between El Fortuna Diablo and the town.
According to my timepiece, the devil is 2 minutes late.
Mac, you're not making sense.
Shh. Now, have yourself a look at the devil, Tracy.
Shh.
The devil was walking stealthily toward the door of the mud house. He looked just like Manuelo had described him. Black from head to foot, horns rising from his skull, and feet formed into hooves. We watched him enter the house.
Here, Tracy, you've seen the devil before your time. Now we scram as quiet as we can get.
Mac, what does it mean?
It's a gimmick, and a smart cookie's got a monopoly on it. Scare the bejabers out of everybody, knock heads together, knock a few guys off, and then sell protection. I watched Capone work that gimmick in Cicero once. I'm being sold protection.
Yeah, but who?
One guess, chump.
Montesano.
Yeah, Montesano in his costume getup. Montesano tells the men the hex is off El Fortuno Diablo for a fee, and then scares them all over again and gets me to cough up some more.
And you're letting him get away with it?
Sure. I'm not letting him on yet. I like a man who thinks big, like friend Montesano. Besides, the men listen to him. And I'm still here to mine gold.
Mac was there to mine gold, one way or another at any cost. But he wasn't going to get any gold.
What's the story of the sampling, Tracy?
You're not getting any gold. All El Fortuno Diablo has for you is this. Salt. You haven't got a gold mine, Mac. You've got a salt mine.
Keep the report under your hat, Tracy. Mine operations will go on exactly as they are.
It's crazy. The salt isn't worth the transportation.
We're not mining salt. We're mining for gold.
Mac, there isn't a grain of gold, I tell you.
We're mining for gold, Tracy. For a year, I lay on my back watching Klondike drool over that map, listening to him whisper about El Fortuno Diablo. For a year, strapped down tight so I couldn't move a muscle or wiggle a finger. But I could use my ears, Tracy, and my brain. We're mining gold. Gold, Tracy.
You lay on your back, Mac, strapped down. Where were you laying on your back?
You really want to know?
Yeah.
I told you once that maybe sometime you'd wish I hadn't told you. It was in the Meadowbrook Hospital for the criminally insane.
We were to continue mining for gold. A madman was intent on mining gold even if there wasn't any gold. A killer with the delusion that he'd picked up in an insane asylum was insisting on operations as usual. And the emergency bell rang as usual.
Señor Tracy, just now El Diablo was in the mine with my own eyes. I see him.
Who got it this time?
Montesano. El Diablo came up to the great Montesano and strangled him.
Montesano? It's impossible. Montesano was your Diablo.
Señor, what are you saying?
I don't know. I don't know anything. Manuelo.
Si, señor.
If you value your life, ride into the first town you can find that has anything like a police force. Get them here. Drag them here.
What, for what reason, señor?
McNamara's a crazy, cold-blooded murderer. You've all been working yourselves to death, digging for gold in a salt mine. You're all his prisoners. And any minute, we'll all be his victims. Now hurry, Manuelo. Hurry!
Si, señor Tracy. Si.
Manuelo didn't get far. Mac stopped him outside. Then he came after me. I ran in panic into the mine. Here, in a trap. Waters are rising. Mac's around an L somewhere in the tunnel, waiting in ambush. And I have got a choice. Drown or meet Mac's bullets head on.
Tracy, your time's running out.
Mac, I got a right to live.
You blabbed to Manuelo, and he spread the word. I told you I came here to mine gold, and you blabbed to Manuelo.
There isn't any gold.
I worked my straps free at Meadowbrook and strangled Klondike to get that map. I shot up a Kansas bank to get the money to buy mining equipment. All that so I could mine gold. You hear, Tracy? Mine gold!
Mac! What happened, Mac?
I'm hit, Tracy. You got me.
Darn liar, I didn't even fire.
It's a trick. It's a trick to lure me out. Mac shot into the air to confuse me. He's there behind an L where I can't see him in ambush. Mac! Mac!
He cannot hear you, Señor Tracy. Mac, he's there.
El Diablo! It's the devil standing there. Like Manuelo described him, black from head to floor with horns rising from his skull. How many devils are there around here? First Montesano, now you?
Montesano is a faker. He sees tribute, he do many things. Kill many men. I have come to know, senor, that there is no Diablo.
No devil? You're not standing there, huh?
But I am real, senor. Behind this face, I am Parento.
Parento? They couldn't even find enough of you for a decent burial.
It was Salvador they could not find. In the hospital, the doctor agreed that Parento will drive the devil from El Fortuno Diablo. And the police agree Parento will be their deputy.
You killed Montesano and McNamara?
Si, senor. What is so funny, senor?
McNamara. I was thinking of Mac's master plan. He never figured that booby trap he planted in your lunchbox would blow up in his face.
A porter in a gold-buying service once swept this track into a refuse pile. Many a body loses his mind. Good thing Tracy came out of it all okay. What do you bet when he comes out of shock, he puts his diploma into half? The way Mac framed him, I'd say Tracy was more engineered than engineer. So Montesano, the Al Capone of Alicante, got his unexpectedly. The only thing he'll collect from now on is dust, the greedy old devil.
Good night, pleasant dreams.
Inner Sanctum has been brought to you through the facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
In Erie House Radio.
How lucky could they be?
Damn lucky. That's how lucky.
Some pretty
really
scary.
Going overtime?
Hmm?
On that organ. I love that organ.
Yeah. But will we love this? Erie House Radio proudly presents an original and Agar's moral of the story.
The great thing about insanity. On Tuesdays, the wallpapers taste like blueberries.
Oh,
Godzilla
approves. Likes blueberries.
Yes,
Godzilla
does.
Likes
he
blueberries.
Does.
Okay, now we know.
Now we know.
And now we know. The rest of the story.
Yep. Tomorrow night, we got more radio. A whole lot.
Oh, yes.
Something happened
and,
to my
and
schedule.
And after all that, if things go right, and they kind of are, I should have a horrible horror on the Twitches, I hope.
Ooh.
Yay!
Ooh. Yep. We got one more gold mine for you tomorrow. CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yes.
Yep. Herman Munster is back.
Yeah, Fred Gwynn in our program tomorrow. The Luck Sisters. I'm already thinking bad thoughts. So just sign me up for Me Too once again.
Well, that didn't take long. We haven't started the show yet.
Oh, my goodness. There's a line, an aisle, just for you in the hashtag Me Too section right there.
What is Fort Ewan? What is that? I don't know the news.
Express lane.
An express lane?
Oh, no. I was just saying there's an express lane for you guys in the hashtag #MeToo movement.
Yes.
The express lane right there.
Yeah.
I'm not getting in that line. I like everybody.
Okay.
So do I, too much. That's why I'm in the Me Too line. But anyway. But I digress. It's so much fun here on Erie House Radio. We got more good stuff coming up this month. Thanksgiving, of course. We're at what? A little less than 2 weeks away now.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
Oh, my
God. It's already time for Thanksgiving.
No kidding.
It's a little earlier this year on the calendar. The 23rd, it's usually, I remember it often being the 25th, 26th,
27th. I had to go look it up, and it said it was the last Thursday of the month, but there, that's not right. It's like
no.
The fourth one. It's the fourth.
But
so
only
the
if the moon is in the fourth quarter or something like that, third quarter. I don't know.
Man,
it has something to do with football.
They got way too technical, because I was looking at it, and I was like, the last Thursday of the Well, this month ends on the 30th, and it's a Thursday. And I was like, really? And then I had to go look it up.
Yeah, maybe it can't be the last day of the month or something.
Maybe it's for business purposes. It can't be the last month.
I don't know. There's
maybe it's like voting
the
first Tuesday of the first full week in November is voting. Maybe it's the last Thursday of the last full week of November.
I won't disagree, Dave.
What?
I won't disagree.
You disagree?
I won't disagree.
You won't disagree.
I won't disagree.
It should be like the old days.
I'm all for it. Stockpile.
Take them out.
Stockpile the ice cream for the pumpkin pie.
Yep. Ooh, and a pumpkin pie. Costco has good ones for $6, and they're massive. They are absolutely massive.
Those just serve like 48 people. Where are you going with that?
They're going swimming in the thing.
48 people or me. See you tomorrow at 6:30.
The Easter lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her and
when
him.
When next we meet in Frankenstone.
The goat.
And me too.
Don't come alone.
And me too.
Goat needs new batteries.
And you dig it. There we go.
There we go.
That last giggle got us there.
Yeah.
That's good.
Good times.
Yeah, I think
long...
I was like a...
was at a Sam's Club, and I saw that huge pie, and I was like, you know, that weighs as much as a small child. That's a little rough.
Yeah. I can eat. I can eat that. Not the small child, but I could eat that.
Yeah.
So when you're coming out of the kitchen with said pie, do you hear that beep, beep, beep noise when you're backing out with the pie?
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, that's time to get a new pie. The old garbage pie.
That rear mirror attached to me now. Yeah.
Oh, that means it's time to make cookies for the dog. Yes, pumpkin. You use pumpkin and peanut butter.
So the rest of the year you're not making cookies for the dog?
No, it's pumpkin season. Lots of pumpkin is good for dogs. I was surprised there are certain vegetables that are good for dogs if they'll eat them. Some will, some won't.
Yeah, pumpkin's right. Good for kitties too.
Homemade kitties. Dog biscuits kitties. Are better than the ones you get in a box.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, you know what goes into it. You control
exactly. The
content.
Yes.
You control the vertical or whatever.
Yeah.
So what, you just put and mix the pumpkin with the peanut butter, put it on a cookie sheet and bake it?
I think there's some flour in there to bind it up a little bit, maybe a wee bit of flour. I don't know. My wife has the recipe. She makes cookies for the dog.
Yeah.
It's like
I made some cookies for the dog years ago. The dog liked it. The dog was like, hey, cool. Thanks, man.
Yep. Sometimes I'll buy a nice London broil and slice it up real thin. She'll make beef jerky. And you can make that in your air fryer. And it actually comes out real good. And you can make it far more healthy than
air fryers.
Yeah, air fryers are great. Oh, my gosh. You can dry out vegetables and fruit for later on. You can do a lot of things with them. You can toast your bagel. Toast your bagel.
Ooh.
Or bread in them. Yeah. And we even make small roasts in them. Yep. It's even got a little rotisserie in there. Mm. A little
baby one.
Mm. You know, you can't feed like an army.
I think there's some serial killers out there that use them to get rid of evidence.
And she had to buy a very special one. I mean, she looked high and low for it because of the parrot. A lot of our cook and bakeware, we have to be careful that it doesn't emit certain chemicals or release things in the air that'll be bad for the parrot. Like the old-fashioned Teflon, that's horrible for birds. That's absolutely horrible.
Yuck. What a chemical nightmare Teflon turned out to be.
Yeah.
Responsible for all types of infantile disabilities and.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, humans, you know.
Mutations.
But pets, you know.
I mean,
like the movies.
The good thing
for
about
me.
That is it's ushering in the days of the X-Men and the mutants. The mutants.
Yes. Well, that and short lives. That's what we try to avoid here, short lives.
Well, there's that.
Except for the tobacco thing.
That's going to live forever. Enjoy it while we got it.
Yep.
And I'm all for mutants. I can't wait. I'm waiting for my spider sense to kick in any day now.
You're going to grow a tail. You talked about it so much, you're going to grow a tail. Prehensile, I hope.
I just trust that it's, prehensile, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's more fun to have a prehensile tail.
Gentlemen, we
will
the
things you
I'm
can do with that.
I'm being spirited away. I must bid adieu.
We scared her off.
CW.
I'll leave her name. Bleh, bleh. Bleh, bleh.
You did what to your visa? What?
What? I don't know. It's probably time to do your thing, Ms. W.
Oh, yes. and now, after that wonderful performance from our giggling gherkin, we have the immortal Mr. Jimmy Durante.
Good night, good night, good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night.
Scooby-Doo.
Featuring the duet with the goat.
Windy, burndy, windy nighty.
We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
Toodaloo!
Guten Abend!
Inka-dinka-doo, yeah.
Sayonara.
Good night.
Auf Wiedersehen.
I hear nothing, I see nothing, I know nothing.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Wherever you are.
Arrivederci.
Hasta la vista.
Adios.
Adios, muchachos, caballeros de la
vida. You get out of here.